Listening Library presents Switch by Ingrid Law. Read for you by Abigail Ravash. Chapter 1.
Please, Mrs. Foster, I've seen your future and you really don't want to buy this soap.
Gypsy Beaumont, stop making a scene and let go.
It was the second Saturday in January, but red and green streamers still hung from the rafters in Flint's Market. A little drummer boy continued to rum-pum over the loudspeakers. At the front of the store, a small table held what was left of the holiday clearance. Mesh bags of crushed chocolate Hanukkah coins, flattened marshmallow Santas, a torn package of silver confetti, a few scraggly, wilted poinsettias. Meanwhile, halfway down aisle 6, I was engaged in a tug of war with Mrs. Foster, my former Prairie Scout troop leader, and the mother of my former best friend, Shelby. As Mrs. Foster and I battled for possession of a small blue box of Sudso Heaven bath soap, Shelby pushed her mother's grocery cart down the aisle, away from us, pretending she didn't know me, just like she'd been doing for the past 4 months.
What happened to the good citizenship you learned in Prairie Scouts, Gypsy?
Mrs. Foster demanded.
I'm trying to be a good citizen, I said, wrenching down harder on the box Mrs. Foster and I gripped between us. Mrs. Foster didn't understand, couldn't understand. She only tugged back harder.
I never could get you to conform to the conduct of the Prairie Scouts, Gypsy. You were always too flighty.
Yank. Tug. Too daydreamy. Jerk. Pull. Too odd. Where are your parents?
Mrs. Foster pried at my clutching fingers, not letting go of the bar of soap that was, unbeknownst to her, as dangerous as an oily banana peel at the top of a staircase. Hearing Mrs. Foster's voice rise over the post-holiday rum-pum-pa-pums, I knew I was in trouble. By now, Papa would have heard the shrieking. He'd be hot-footing it to aisle 6 on the double. Mr. Flint would probably be heading our way, too. The store owner always kept a close eye on my family when we did our shopping. Things had a way of going wonky when a Beaumont was in the aisles. From exploding cash registers and power surges, to an incident involving all of the ink pens and markers in aisle 10, to an unexplained rainstorm in the bakery that destroyed a dozen birthday cakes and gully-washed 50 loaves of bread into the parking lot. Mr. Flint had already banned most of my older siblings from the store, for life. It looked like I'd be next. I hadn't meant to make a scene. Seeing Shelby and her mother in the store, I'd followed them, slipping away from Papa in the produce section. When I'd left him, Papa had been scratching the old scar on his bald head as he sorted through a pile of fresh green beans, trying to pick the perfect ones for Mama. Mama could have grabbed handfuls of the very best beans without even looking. But today, Papa had volunteered to do the shopping. I'd asked to go along. Big mistake. I'd followed Shelby, spying on her from a distance. I was certain that if I looked hard enough, I might glimpse a future in which I was a super mature, card-carrying teenager in Shelby's new gaggle of gawking, squawking gal pals. No such luck. I'd seen Mrs. Foster's future instead. I could feel my glasses slipping down the short slope of my stubby nose. Not wanting to release my two-handed grip on the soap, I used my shoulder to push my glasses back in place. It was either that or close my eyes and keep them closed. Otherwise, things would only get worse. If Papa arrived in aisle 6 now, he'd know I'd been using my savvy again. I was supposed to be practicing control. I was supposed to be staying focused on the present. I was supposed to be allowing other people their privacy. But I'd never been too good at remembering my supposed tos.
Gypsy.
Papa appeared at one end of the aisle, just as Mr. Flint materialized at the other. Both of them were frowning. At the same moment, the music inside the market changed. The drummer boy's plodding pums faded away, replaced by a lively burst of violins and horns and sprightly tambourine, the Russian dance from the Nutcracker. Hearing the familiar melody, my mind filled with a fantasia of dancing thistle men and orchid women, lifting my spirits, compelling my feet to move. The zeal of the music,
and the threat of the three adults closing ranks bolstered my determination. With one great heave, I snatched the soap from Mrs. Foster's grasp at last. I lingered just long enough to plow every last bar of Suds of Heaven off the shelf into my arms. Then I sprang merrily away.
Gypsy, stop!
I can't, Papa, I called back. Trust me! Hop-skipping down aisle 6, I hugged my hoard of soap tightly. I couldn't afford to drop any of the slippery boxes. I had to keep them all from Mrs. Foster. Overtaken by orchestral glee, I only paused when I passed Shelby. Come on, Shell, please! I begged as I twirled and hopped around her. You could help me! All I wanted was to skip away arm in arm with Shelby, to giggle and cavort the way we'd done less than a year ago, when we were both still Prairie Scouts and friends. Shelby stared at the floor, bug-eyed and red-faced, completely mortified. I felt my shoulders droop, but I couldn't dawdle. Mrs. Foster's future was in my hands. The Nutcracker's Russian dance only lasts a minute. That was all the time I needed. Before the final tambourine ting-tang buzzed from the speakers, I'd found my way to the seafood section. By the time the others caught up to me, 12 boxes of Suds of Heaven soap were settling to the bottom of Mr. Flint's empty lobster tank, sending heavenly suds bubbling through the filters. Papa paid for the soap, the cost of cleaning the lobster tank, and our bag of green beans. Then Mr. Flint pointed to the exit. A dozen shoppers looked on, nattering behind their hands. Oh, it's that poor man with the peculiar wife and children. It was only a matter of time before something like this happened again. I can't understand how someone as nice and as normal as Mr. Beaumont ended up with such wicked children. They're always getting into trouble. It's why they homeschool, you know. The yakety-yak of the gossips jackhammered at my insides. We weren't wicked at all. Sure, Rocket had sometimes shocked people on purpose, back when he was young and ornery. And Samson may have turned invisible at church the previous Sunday without meaning to, nearly giving old Mr. Popplewell a heart attack. But those things didn't make my brothers bad. Tears prickled the corners of my eyes, but I refused to cry. I'd done what I had to do. My savvy vision had been quite clear. If saving Mrs. Foster had cost me future shopping privileges, so be it. Heading for the exit, Papa and I brushed past the clearance table. I quickly scooped up a poinsettia flower that had fallen to the floor and tucked it into my hairband, dressing up my knotted mess of curls. Then, without even thinking, I ran my hand through the shimmer of confetti spilled across the table. I was hot in my coat, and my wild dance through the store had made me even warmer. The confetti clung to my sweat-dampened palm. I couldn't help myself. Soothed by the flower in my hair and the silver bits sprinkling from my fingertips, I momentarily forgot my cares and twirled in the direction of the exit. This is exactly why we can't be friends anymore, Gypsy, Shelby said as she and her mother passed me and Papa, all of us leaving the store at the same time. You are way too embarrassing. As Mrs. Foster pulled her daughter toward the parking lot, Shelby called back over her shoulder loud enough for everyone in the store to hear. We're 13 years old now, Gypsy. Teenagers! Why do you have to be so weird about some stupid bar of soap? Why do you still act like a silly, dancing, flower-picking baby? Shelby's barbs punctured my last bubble of confidence. Her meanness smashed all of the twinkle lights that lit me from inside. I stopped twirling. I hadn't been trying to embarrass anyone. I'd been trying to keep Mrs. Foster from getting a busted elbow and 2 cracked ribs in a bathtub accident only I could see coming. But how could Shelby understand? She'd stopped being my friend right before my most important birthday, right before I turned 13. I'd gone away for the summer and lost Shelby to a group of older girls. Girls who wore mascara and lip gloss, and skirts too short and tight to twirl. I sighed as I watched Shelby walk away. It was no use. Even if she had still been my friend, I couldn't have explained or told the truth. I'd want...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?